This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Craig Hoffman.
If football math is not real math, that's good, because then I have a chance of doing it well.
That is true.
The Hoffman Show.
Unfortunately, that is the only math that I have a chance of doing well.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right, what's up? What's happening? Happy Monday here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are streaming live on YouTube too. At the Team 980. A lot of NBA today. We'll also talk a ton about the Steelers trade, including my guy Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, coming up later on in the show. But it's a big day here at the Hoffman Show, at least I think. I'm pretty sure this is our third anniversary. I'm pretty sure today is the day. Our launch day was June 30th of 2022. And so Anthony and I are ready to celebrate. Anthony's in Paris. So my boss CK is here to say, what? He's on vacation too. Drab didn't stay after the morning. He just did the junkies and went home. But hey, Ben Strober's here today. What's up, Ben? Welcome to the show. You ready to celebrate and have a fiesta anniversary show?
I feel like it's only fitting. 3-year anniversary, my first time working with you today, Craig.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Yep. What were you doing 3 years ago? You were what year at Maryland?
I had just wrapped up my freshman year at Maryland.
Excellent.
I was covering summer baseball, the Gaithersburg Giants, part of the Cal Ripken Senior Collegiate Baseball League.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was up to. I was driving all over the DMV covering baseball every single night.
Nice. All right. Well, we're going to get to know Ben a little later, because he's going to be with us all week. Part of Ben's resume repertoire is that he is the host of Locked On Wizards as well as being a great producer for us here at the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan. So coming up at 5 o'clock today, Ben is going to join me in conversation as a little bit different version of Not My Beat to preview the Wizards free agency. It's a weird NBA free agency. We'll get there. We also have a little Ted Command mailbag style for you here today. We have interviews at 5:30 with Trey Johnson and Will Riley from the weekend. I was at their introductory press conference, talked to both Wizards first round picks. But we start with a really bizarre NFL trade. We don't see player for player trades in the NFL very often. When they do, it's kind of like, hey, you need this thing, I need this thing, so let's do a dance. And certainly, typically, when you get a trade, you get the whole thing at once. You don't get it in multiple parts. But this morning, it's like, oh, Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers. Wow, he and Minka together? Like, that's going to be maybe the Steelers are going to be good this year. Oh, what's that? Tweet 2 from Schefter. Oh, Minka Fitzpatrick is going back to the Dolphins? Okay. Oh, wait, there's a third element to this. Jonnu Smith is going from Miami to Pittsburgh for a pick swap? Well, all right. And next thing you know, you have three players involved in a single trade. There's also two draft picks that go back and forth. And ultimately, the Steelers become kind of more interesting, while the Dolphins, I mean, I guess I was already not really counting Jalen Ramsey on their team because they were very public about the fact that they were going to trade him. He was excused from mandatory minicamp, the whole deal. It just didn't work out for whatever reason, and so he is off to Pittsburgh. And if he's there with Minka and they can figure out this TJ Watt thing, then it's like, wow, are the Steelers going to be good? And when you look at their offense, their running back room is not great unless Caleb Johnson is, you know, this year's Bucky Irving, third-round pick who just balls out and plays really well. Obviously, a quarterback, y'all know that have been listening for much of the last 3 years, how I feel about Aaron Rodgers, which is not good, but he's not the worst quarterback in the league, and he played some decent ball, okay ball down the stretch. I think those who have been listening for the last year and a half where DK Metcalf's name has been in the news also know how I feel about him. But I also don't want to get it twisted how I feel about him. I didn't think the Commanders should have pursued him. And I think Terry McLaurin, for instance, is a better player. But like DK Metcalf's a good football player. He's a very useful football player. And Jonnu Smith is a very good football player. Different levels of good. DK's better. He's more explosive. The high end is obviously better. But like, if the Steelers' offensive line is good and Rodgers is okay, this feels like a perfectly Mike Tomlin, somehow they will win 10 games. But maybe not quite 10. Could they be in the 9-win thing? But if they get a lucky break and face some teams who have some injuries, like, could they mess around and win 10 games? Maybe. But I think in order for them to be dangerous, they would have had to do this trade in a way that didn't involve giving up Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, Minka's still awesome. He's a very dangerous player. And I guess my thing is, I just don't know what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing, and it doesn't feel like they know what they're doing. And that's a weird place. There's part of me that says, if they can't say a quiet part out loud, which is, they don't feel like they can just stink this year. Because, for instance, Cam Hayward, he is a legend there. He has played 14 years, all with the Steelers. First round pick back in 2011. He is 36 years old. We're getting near the end for Cam Hayward. Okay, he's got 2 years remaining on his contract. Maybe he plays out both of them. But there's definitely a chance this is it for Cam Hayward, right? Do they feel like we can't tank on Cam Hayward? We have to make as good of a chance as we possibly can to be good. And they look at TJ Watt. And obviously, there's a contract holdout there. TJ wants more money. But TJ's 31 years old. He's been injured a lot the last couple of years. And he's in the final year of his contract. And maybe they're looking at TJ being like, bro, we don't want to sign you because next year, like, we're just going to move on. Like, we're going to let you hit free agency. You're going to get so much money. But, like, this is the last year of this. And if they're not willing to say that out loud, I get it. And maybe they're just like, in the future, we're going to reset. And they signed, you know, a guy like Darius Slay and, you know, older players. And let's just see how good we can be for one more year. We don't love the quarterback class in next year's draft. But if we stink up the joint in 2026 and draft a quarterback in 2027, then maybe we're in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. Maybe we're in whatever else. Maybe that's how they're looking at it. And if that's the case, I guess, you know, we'll see, you know, they gave Jalen Ramsey more money this year, but I don't think they owe him any money in the long term. You know, Minka is 29, and he has 2 years remaining, meaning next year, after this season, he's going to get an extension. He's got no guaranteed money left on his deal after this year. Well, I mean, really, including this year. But his dead cap number next year drops down to 6.8. It's just the prorated signing bonus money. And you'd save $17 million on the cap. Like, next year is the first year that it is positive cash flow. The cap savings is more than the dead money. And so maybe they look at it as like, if we can get off Minka, we get Jalen in here, it's more or less a neutral, maybe a little bit better this year because the premiumness of corner versus the premiumness of safety. And they next year is the clean slate year. If that's what they're doing, then I'm good with it. It's a little weird they haven't said that anywhere. You can't tell a Schefter, a Rappaport, a someone, like on the low, here's what we're doing. Fine. But the Steelers are kind of a weird old school organization. Maybe they don't do that. If that's not what they're doing, then I don't know what they're doing. And there's no part of me that has any faith that they know what they're doing. And as for the Dolphins side of it, you get a little bit younger player in Minka. Maybe you're willing to sign him for a 2-3 year deal and extend him. You get rid of your Jalen Ramsey problem. Jonnu Smith is a good player, but he's a tight end. Maybe you have some younger pieces in the pipeline. And I also think this is kind of the last year for them. Anyway, like if it doesn't work this year, you need to blow it up. That's kind of where it is. And unfortunately for them, like they're a Ferrari. When all the pieces are working, it goes real fast. They can score 30 a game on anybody, and that takes pressure off their defense and all the stuff. But all the parts are custom fitted, and if one breaks, it can take a while to get back. And if that thing is Tua, they have never had a backup quarterback who can do anything substantial for them, and that is a real problem. And whether it's Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, or Tua, if any of that triumvirate goes out, the whole thing falls apart, and nothing they can really do, I think, in this free agency and this trade season was going to fix that reality. So they're just going to try to be the best they can. If you're Mike McDaniel, you're hoping to earn the trust of ownership to be like, hey, we can change out the players. I'm the right guy for the rebuild, but we'll see what the Dolphins do this season. We'll get more on the Pittsburgh angle with Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, coming up at 6 o'clock. Coming up at 4:30, more football. Logan and I answer a question about the Commanders' future when it comes to the top developmental prospects in their pipeline. And don't forget, plenty of NBA free agency talk. Free agency is just a few hours away here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. We'll get to some NBA free agency coming up at 5 o'clock, where we'll talk Wizards specifically at 5, and we'll get to some of the other top stories that we're following around the league at 5:15. In order to help me do that, in for Anthony this entire week is Ben Strober, who's one of our producers. Does a lot of work over across the hall at 106.7 The Fan, producing overtime on the weekends, etc., but also helping us out here at the Team 980. And since, Ben, you're going to be here the entire week, I feel like the audience should get to know you a little bit. So, first of all, welcome to the show again. I said that in the first segment, but welcome to the show. Where'd you grow up? Are you a DMV kid, or you just wind up here with college? We said earlier you went to Maryland. So are you just wind up here because you're a Terp, or did you grow up in the DMV?
DMV, born and raised. I grew up in Gaithersburg. I've lived in the same area, essentially. I moved houses, I guess, in sixth grade, but I've lived within a mile of where I grew up my entire life in Gaithersburg.
Okay, and you're still in Gaithersburg now?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, because I now realize that you asked me before the show, are you a Maryland or a Virginia guy? And I said, without hesitation, I'm a Virginia guy, because when I moved here... When I moved to the D.C. area, I was told by someone who was in the media who I knew up here, like, hey, you're going to have to be in Ashburn a lot, but you want to be close enough to the city. Like, look at the Reston area. Mm-hmm. And so I settled in Reston, in part because I had to go to Ashburn. But I've always been more fond of the Virginia side, although there's some very nice areas of Maryland. I have nothing against the state of Maryland. Maryland has been very good to me, so I'm not trying to start a war here. I've just always been more of a Virginia guy. I feel like there's a little more space, and I appreciate that. But you get up towards Gaithersburg, there's a little bit more space.
Across the hall, they start wars with me. They hate Maryland over there. It's crazy.
Which guys? Grant Danny? Grant specifically?
Well, Toby hates Maryland more than anyone. Well, actually, he loves to always have the bit with me that he doesn't hate Maryland. It's his 48th favorite state.
Oh, that's what's 49 and 50 for him?
He said, I'm trying to remember. I think Minnesota he has as a state worse than Maryland. Mm. And maybe I think Michigan he said is worse.
That makes sense. He's a Wisconsin guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
He really doesn't like Michigan.
Mm. Yeah, my only real thing with Maryland is like the Maryland driver thing is real. Like, y'all are nuts.
What? How is it Maryland versus everyone else in the DMV? Is it not the same thing?
What do you mean versus everyone? Yeah, if you guys would stop driving like maniacs, then we wouldn't have a problem.
So people in Virginia drive perfectly fine, but Maryland people are the problem.
For the most part, like if I get cut off, I'm now a DC person, have been. I've lived in the district since 2020.
Oh, there you go.
Full time, right? If I get cut off, there is an 85% chance it is a Maryland plate. There's about a 7-8% chance it's a Virginia plate, and a 7-8% chance it's a fellow. Actually, no, it's like a 10% chance Virginia, 5% chance DC.
All right, I'll give you that, I guess.
Yeah, so like, it's not, I don't want that to be true. I would like to not get cut off and feel like my life is at risk.
It's not me.
But if I almost get hit in a crosswalk, if I have someone swerve in front of me, often it is with a Maryland plate. Part of it might just be like, y'all got so many speed cameras up there.
We
that
do.
You get out of the speed cameras and people are like, freedom! And it's like, no, we have responsibility. The reason y'all need the speed cameras because you won't slow the hell down into like a safe speed and not drive like a crazy person.
You're right about that with the speed cameras, because it's almost humbling if you move to the Maryland area how many speed camera tickets you'll get early on in your tenure of living in the state of Maryland. Thankfully for me, I grew up in Maryland my whole life. I know where all of them are. Literally, I know where every speed
camera. So you drive like
is.
A maniac between the cameras?
No. I'm a good driver. I'm a very safe, defensive driver. I don't put anyone's life in danger, so I'm not out there cutting you off, Craig.
Okay, and if you're mad at that, and you're a Marylander, just saying, if you're mad at it because it's true and you're that person, that's on you. And if you're like, I'm a safe driver, okay, then I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. It's going to be okay. All right, but anyway, the whole point of this was not to get me in trouble with the widest portion of our listening audience by having some fun at the expense of the state, the great state of Maryland. It's to get to know Ben. So were you an athlete growing up? Were you more of just like a sports fan growing up?
I did play. I played basketball and lacrosse in high school. I also played golf, if you really count that as a team sport.
Sure.
I did it just to go to practice twice a week and play 9 holes of golf. I'll say that. I was not good enough to actually play in the matches or anything like that. I shoot around 42 to 45 on 9 holes, which to some people, that's pretty good.
Not bad at all.
Montgomery County golf standards, terrible. You're not ever going to play in a match, and that was the case with me. But I would say I'm a bit vertically challenged.
Okay.
To play sports, especially basketball, which was my main sport really until I got to 10th grade and I started playing lacrosse more seriously. I'm 5'6" for the audience, so you tell me if my height gives me an advantage on the basketball court or not. But I got a lot of heart, and I think I got a lot of heart in what I do as a profession as well. So that's I took that part of my life, and I took it and decided I want to broadcast sports, and that's what I've been doing really since high school. I got into newspaper. I was the editor-in-chief for a school newspaper. And I didn't do any broadcast stuff because it wasn't available to me until college. And I started working with the student radio. My freshman year, started doing play-by-play, started out doing volleyball, field hockey, sports that I had never covered before, didn't know anything about. And I got pretty well-versed in doing sports like that and worked my way up through the totem pole until I became the station director of the student radio, started calling games on Big Ten Plus, and here we are. It's awesome to be here. I grew up listening to this station, of course, the fan as well. So it's been really fun the past 6 months getting to know everyone here and be part of the whole thing.
That's awesome, dude. I love that. What was I going to ask you? So why did you pick Maryland? Like, was it just, did you grow up a Maryland fan?
It was always going to be Maryland for me. My second choice was Missouri.
Okay, great journalism school.
Yeah.
Not quite Syracuse, but you know, we can't all.
Didn't apply to Syracuse. Wasn't going to be able to afford going there. And I will say that right now. I know you and still, you and Anthony got those new house ties going crazy. I got a lot of buddies at new house that I've met.
We do, but man, was it expensive
over the past couple years? I mean, it's funny because a lot of the people at Merrill College of Journalism, you know, there's a little bit of a jealousy thing to the new house guys because of like all the fancy equipment and the reputation of the journalism school up there at Syracuse, and we refer to you guys as the new house nerds.
Oh, okay. So
but
we
not,
refer
not me. To. I have a lot of respect for my Syracuse brethren.
We refer to ourselves as the Newhouse Mafia because we are kind of. I mean, look at the show today. 6 o'clock, Andrew Filippone. Why do I know Filippone? Because of where we went to school. Well, if you look at the guests last week on the show, it's actually kind of dumb. Like, we had, you know, it's nice because when news breaks, like last week we had the Kevin Durant trade. And I did a radio show in college with a guy named Paul Gallant, who now happens to host in Houston. So, like, we had Gallant on the show. So, like, you just kind of know people, which is great. It's nice. You know, we had Mark Kestisher on during the NBA Finals, who calls him for ESPN Radio. Like, that's a Syracuse connection. Like, we are everywhere. But, like, there are plenty of great schools. Like, it's fun to rib. But, like, I feel like Maryland's always had a pretty solid school. But I feel like since Van Pelt became, like, the guy, the reputation, it definitely helps. It's like, oh, that's where Scott went? Oh, I could, if I want to be Scott, I should go to Maryland. And I feel like that's definitely helped. And I know he's very involved in the university.
Believe it or not, he was not in the journalism school.
Well, I know. That's the funny part about it.
That is the funniest part. You know what's crazy? So Newhouse Mafia, you brought it up how it's a mafia and you guys have such a reputation even up there. My friend who goes to Syracuse, Adam Gotkin, he's STA All-American, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's going to be a star. You'll hear about him one day.
I was on the first STAA All-American list because that's how old I am. It was the first one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats to a young you.
Yeah, but a young me. Long time ago.
He sent me a picture from Barstool Syracuse talking about the worst people on Syracuse's campus, and Newhouse kids are number two. Like, y'all are that notorious over there that you got rated by Barstool as being, like, the worst people to be around?
I wonder who number one is.
And I think it was some frat or something.
That would track. Look, there are kids who go through that program that have a very big head about themselves. I think learning humility is an important thing. And when you're a young person, humility isn't always your specialty. I don't know that it was always mine. I think I've really like taken a step back over the years and gained a lot of perspective in life. And now I do really sound like an old man. But yeah, there's definitely, I mean, like, one of the things that I tell the kids now when I talk to them, and I feel like that there's a current group there that I've talked to a couple of the kids, and like I think they actually do a pretty good job about this, but it's kind of like there's almost a pride in like squashing the freshmen, and like when you're reviewing other kids' tapes, you're just like, how hard can I cut them out at the knees? And it's like, how harsh can I be as someone who's doing critiques? And I think that part of the lineage, while being very critical and being able to take feedback is a really important skill in life, nevertheless, in this field, being able to deliver it without being a jerk would also be nice. And I do think that's something that probably could be helped. And yeah, like you're still a 19-year-old or 20-year-old kid. You're not that great. You haven't done anything yet just because you got into a great school. So yeah, I don't know. I also, you know, Barstool, I'm not like, yeah, you're the ultimate raider of all the things.
Oh, no, so definitely not.
There's that, too. All right. There's a little bit about Ben. You'll get to hear more about his basketball takes coming up at 5 o'clock. He's also the host of the Locked On Wizards podcast. And so Ben is going to help us preview NBA free agency. We'll start with the Wizards and where they're at 5 o'clock. And then we will get into some of the big stories we're following across the NBA at 5:15. Again, 6 o'clock tonight is when NBA free agency opens. There will be a flurry of moves. We're kind of going to let those happen, the initial flurry, because of where the Wizards are and also scheduling. We're going to have Andrew Filipponi on the Steelers trade at 6 o'clock. And then right at 6:15, when we're done with Pony, we will catch you up on the first flurry, react to all the news, and we'll do that for the rest of the show. So that's how we're lining up. Up next, though, who are the top players that fit the descriptor developmental prospect for the Washington Commanders? That's a mailbag question Logan and I got. It was a fun one to answer. We'll share it with you next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Take Command Podcast. It's me. It's Logan Paulson. We answer your mailbag questions on Mondays during the off season. We had a fun one to start the show today. We should always share a little bit of it with you here on the radio show. And so without further ado, Take Command for you here on the Hoffman Show.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson there in the Cape. I'm Craig Hoffman. Yeah. Don't worry. He's not going to the ocean. Not going to get eaten by a shark.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to do my best not to get eaten by a shark. But like you said, there's a little bit of shark activity. So just got to be smart. Smart about
ocean time. If you don't go in the ocean, then you can't get eaten by a shark. They're not coming on land to get you.
That is true. Yeah, that's a good point. They haven't evolved legs yet. So yeah. It's a good point.
Yet. All right, here's what we got today. We got a mailbag. Again, coming up later in the week are coach rankings for the NFC East. We'll do head coaches and then both coordinator spots for each team. Who's got the best and worst coaching staff in the division? But today, it's a mailbag. We have a ton of questions. Y'all have really stepped up on the questions front. We actually already have quite a few for next week as well that we're excited about. But we're going to start with this one from Watson. Watson sent us an email, Logan, and wanted to know about the development pipeline. He says, consistently, you hear that the best teams develop players. So who are the top seven developmental prospects on Washington's roster? Thanks, Watson. First, let's define what we are going to mean by developmental prospects.
Yeah, I think I was thinking about it when you sent me this question. And I think the thing that comes to me is like guys that are going to develop into starters, like kind of irrespective of like draft position. And I think that's ultimately like what you're looking at with like the Eagles as a good example, like with Milton Williams, just as a point of comparison, like he's a third round pick that develops into a guy that, you know, is a priority free agent when he hits the market, when his contract's up. And I think that's kind of what you're looking at, something like that, someone that's going to contribute to the roster. You know, obviously Milton Williams is like maybe the extreme version of this question, but someone that's going to play starters minutes and someone that's going to like you feel good about on the roster. And so like there's guys like the first guy that comes to mind just as a starting point is like Brandon Coleman, I think is a perfect example. Like he's a guy with a ton of athletic potential, ton of upside, but he's got to figure out kind of his home on the offensive line and he's got to develop in terms of his production at guard, right? Which is a new position this year. So like he's a guy that to me feels like has an arc that gets him to a starting caliber player. And in some versions of the universe, like the multiverse, he's a kind of a Cosme-esque type player where he was an okay tackle, but he's an excellent guard because of the athleticism. And so to me, that feels like a perfect example of a developmental guy, you know, needs some time with Coach Johnson to kind of develop his skill set, hone his skill set at that guard spot. But to me, that's someone that sticks out, a guy that athletically kind of meets all the criteria, and I think ultimately could settles on, you know, being a solid starter for your team, you know, hopefully this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah. I think the, you know, where this question gets interesting is like, what's your threshold for being a developmental player versus like, oh no, that guy doesn't count. He was drafted too high or is too good. Because like realistically, like Josh Connerly, I mean, here's number one.
I was going to say he'd be my next person, honestly.
He's your number one because he's your first round pick this year and you're hoping he develops into a starter. And even though he's got some flaws in his game, that's why you're drafted 29th, not 9th. But you know, even when you're 9th, you're got some flaws. You're a rookie in the NFL. But like, what's the threshold of quote unquote too developed or drafted too high to qualify for this question? I'll say the first guy that came to my mind was Johnny Newton. You know, they draft him. He misses his first offseason because of the foot stuff. He plays pretty well last year. But like, if they're going to get where they want to go, they need Newton to develop into a borderline star. Like they need him to be an impact player on that defensive line. That's why you draft him early in the second round. And with his skill set, like there is a high upside there, the penetrator who can really, really, really be disruptive versus kind of like a more anchor defensive line type is just super solid. So if he's a guy that develops into a star, then you've got one of your studs. You finally have a blue chip player on defense, which you haven't had in what feels like forever. unless you want to count like Bobby coming in last year, you know, make second team all pro. So that's pretty darn good. But like a true blue chip guy that you develop in house. And so he's the first guy that honestly came to mind for me. I think Coleman's a great shout. Connerly, you know, is Sainer still already too far down his development path? Cause he played so much and so well last year to still be, you know, considered in that role. Obviously Trey Amos. But I feel like what a lot of people are looking for here, Logan, is like, is there a current backup, a lower round pick who you think can develop into a starter? So now we're looking at the Medranos of the world or some of the guys who were drafted later last year, Dominique Hampton, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Jordan is another great example. Like you mentioned, I'm glad you brought him up because he's perfect for this kind of developmental arc. Right. And, you know, we were talking about doing a segment for the show where we kind of review old draft picks, you know, and like, the 33rd team did one with Check the Mic, and it was interesting to kind of see like how injury or other things sideline guys' production. So I think Johnny's a great guy because the injury last year is really going to augment his developmental pattern for sure. In terms of backup guys, I think the first guy that jumps to mind to the forefront of mind for me is a guy like, there's a couple guys, and I'm going to kind of list a couple off and then we can talk about them. Jordan McGee, right?
Yeah. He's the first guy I was thinking of too, kind of in this realm.
He's interesting because, again, like I thought he did well in training camp last year, and I don't want to like extrapolate too much off of training camp, but when you talk to guys on the staff about him, like their eyes light up, right? So there's something there in terms of energy. Obviously, when you watch his stuff from Temple, like he was really good at Temple. Like he's physical, he's athletic, he kind of checks all these boxes that you want for like a modern linebacker, you know, like when I think about modern linebacker, it's Fred Warner, right? It's this guy that can cover, can get downhill, can play sideline to sideline. And there were shades of that when he played at Temple. Now he has this injury, kind of like Johnny did last year. And his developmental role or his package or the methodology they were going to use to develop him was kind of sidelined because they had packages for him. They had situations they want to use him. They're not able to do that. And so like now this year, does that process get started? And does he kind of get to show that he's the, you know, heir apparent to Bobby Wagner, you know, whenever Bobby chooses to walk away and leave this thing, like, is he the guy that's good enough to step in? So I think he's a really good example. Tyler Owens is one for me, more because of the athlete. And obviously this, anytime you see someone who plays well on special teams, he's a guy that I'm like, can you find a larger role for that body type? You know, he's 6'4", he's got 33 inch arms, he's fast. I think he like broke every like jump thing at the combine for his body weight. It was like something crazy, like a 12-foot broad jump or 11-8 broad jump, whatever it was. And, you know, he had a crazy vertical. It was like 41 inches. Like his numbers were insane. And you see him on teams, like the way he flashes the physicality, the physicality of him. But can he get some minutes on defense? Or is he just going to be a guy that's kind of a situational special teams guy for the rest of his career? Like those are the questions that I think are really interesting with a guy like Tyler Orange, Jordan McGee. And then I'm trying to remember anybody else on defense.
I mean, you know, Hampton and Medrano would be the other two.
Hampton and Medrano to me are in a different tier. And obviously they're developmental, like no doubt about it. But like because of the position switch for Hampton, like I feel like he's got a longer way to go. You know, Medrano, I think because he's a fifth round pick? You know, it becomes interesting to think about like what his role is in the defense. Like this year, for example, like can he find a Jordan McGee kind of role for himself where he's the big nickel and he's playing a lot of minutes and he finds ways to get on the field and you see a guy that has a trajectory that's going to be, you know, impactful, maybe not this year to that extent, but like shows hey, like if this guy gets more playing time, he's going to be a really, you know, valuable addition to this defense. So those guys are interesting for sure. I just think it's a little bit farther away than Jordan, because I think when you talk to the staff, like it's like right there for him. They want him to take that opportunity. And Tyler Owens too, like based on what he showed on teams last year. So if I had a tier of those guys, I'd say there's like an A tier and a B tier, but I think they kind of fall into this bucket. Because, you know, like with training camp, as you know, you've watched a bunch of training camps, like sometimes, you know, Dominique Hampton comes in and plays better than Jordan McGee. And then he's the guy that's got the package going into the season, and all of a sudden the developmental roles are a little bit different. But as of right now, which is, you know, pretty early in the summer still, I'd say the first guys I mentioned are like kind of that A-tier developmental guy, and then there's like a B-tier developmental guy.
Medrano's sixth round pick, by the way.
Sixth round, yeah. I wasn't sure, fifth or sixth,
Pick 205. I think I would almost say like there's like a tier above that I was talking about first with guys like Johnny, right? Yeah. Where it's like,
Well, Jerzon, Johnny and Brandon, right? Yeah.
Jerzon, Brandon, Mikey, like, I mean, Jaden. Like, Jaden, it feels crazy, but, like, he's still young. Like, every young player is a developing player. And if you, you want to rank in terms of importance, like, obviously there is no more important developmental player, if we have to come up with a list of seven, than Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels also played at a borderline MVP level last year. So, like, what does that, like, does he count? Does he qualify? The better he gets, the farther this team is going to go.
Well, that's really
interesting. I would kind of take him out of it. Like, because
that's what I'm saying is because he was so, because he's not developmental because you're relying on him so much. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to be good or you're terrible.
Like, he can still develop while also, but like, he doesn't have the leeway that the others do.
Correct.
But like, that's also part of the reason you took him second is because like, unlike, which nobody told the Bears, but unlike Caleb Williams, who is 21 years old and you're betting on the upside of what he can be. And that's why he was number one, because you're like, if we get this dude right, he could be one of the greatest we've ever seen. Like, that was the upside of Caleb. Jaden, obviously the upside was tremendously high, but he was also ready to go much quicker. Like, he, because Jaden was an older player, because he was more experienced, because of kind of who he is and the way he found success, he was a high floor, ready to go right now. We are going to be able to maximize. Like, Caleb Williams also might be really good when he's 23, 24 years old. It's not going to happen for another two seasons. Like, that's that's crazy. And so, you know, your best years become a little cheaper if you're the team, but you may not have as quite as long of a runway. Do you really care if your quarterback is only good for 10 to 12 years versus 12 to 15? Like, those are draft season questions we can answer next March. But I think, or hopefully never, and you know, we'll see if we're still doing this podcast in 10 years when Jaden is done and we care about quarterback drafting again. But I think Jaden, I think I'm comfortable taking Jaden out. I think for Mikey, he's probably the second closest to being like graduating from this. They are relying upon him, but this is his first year playing the nickel as a pro. Like, he trained there last year, then played mostly outside. And I think kind of everyone else is on the table, even the second rounders, even Amos, even Newton. I think like those guys are in a different tier because there is a level of relying upon them, but they are starting and they're huge question marks in terms of just how good they're going to be. And they need to develop from like, they're probably okay now into star level players if you want to have an excellent, excellent top five type of defense. And then you have kind of the more traditional developmental model of like, we're hoping these late round picks that are starting on special teams can turn into solid starters for us. We don't necessarily need them to become stars. And if one does, like, that is legitimately found gold in the same way that the 49ers had some found gold all over their roster, but especially a guy like Warner, who's a third round pick who turns into the defining linebacker of the decade.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Because it kind of reminds me of like The Athletic, they do that thing on their podcast where it's like there's a blue chip guy, which is like generational difference making. And there's like red chip guys. And when you look at red chip guys, they're guys that like kind of make up the backbone of your roster. And like usually those guys are developmental pieces, right? And so, you know, like let's just take the offensive line as an example, because I mentioned Brandon Coleman and you mentioned Josh Connerly. Like usually on the offensive line, you invest a certain amount of draft capital. Like I think Philly is a good model for this, and so is Detroit, right? You find Lane Johnson in the first round, you get Landon Dickerson in the second round, like you, and the center, their new center who's taking over for Kelsey,
Cam Jurgens,
he's a draft pick, right? Yeah. And then Tyler Steen's a second round pick, right? But Tyler Steen has a developmental arc to him, right? You find Jordan Mailata late as a developmental prospect. So you look at this, you say, well, they traded for Laremy Tunsil, who's the guy, right? Brandon Coleman's moving a guard. He's a third round pick. Like he has to, for them to have a top 10 offensive line, like he needs to develop, right? You know, you feel good about Biadasz and you look at Cosme, what he's at, like these kind of cornerstone pieces in Tunsil, Biadasz, and Cosme. And then you need Connerly to take steps, man. Like I don't say right now, but in 2 years, he needs to be a serviceable starting right tackle. And I think, you know, one of the things we talked about in his draft profile was like, he's good. Like technically he's very good. Athletically he's very good, but there's still a developmental arc to his career that needs to be actualized in order for him to be a good starting caliber player, be a red chip starting caliber offensive lineman. So I think that's kind of what I look at. And like where I say like for this roster to go from where it's at to again, like a top 10 roster, you need to hit on Trey Amos. Like he needs to develop, like he needs to actualize all that athletic potential. You need to hit on Johnny, right? I'm borderline taking Mike Sanders out of here, like you talked about, but those three guys to me are kind of like those big chess pieces that really need to take big steps moving forward. I'm going to throw Brandon Coleman in there also. So four chess pieces that need to step forward. And we haven't even talked about Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey in terms of draft pick. But in terms of like impactful, high-value positions, corner, offensive line, defensive tackle, especially with the defensive tackle market the way it is at the moment, like I think those are probably the four big ones. And then you kind of get into a debate about who's that tier two developmental prospect, who's the tier three developmental prospect, and why. But those, I know he wants seven, and we'll get to seven, but those four guys to me are really, really at the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and try to get to seven because let's take like, I don't know, two, three from each tier. So like most important of the, like, let's pick two, right? Of the top tier guys, we'll take Mikey out of it. We'll take Jaden out of it, right? So of the next group, Johnny, we'll keep in there. Coleman and Connerly. Is there one? Is there
like
one
Amos,
more?
Amos.
And Amos, like,
yeah.
Those would be the four. And then of the next group, I think McGee probably should make the list. And then, and like, this is kind of it, right? Like, this is why also you try to take, and I know they didn't this year because they traded for Tunsil and they traded for Debo and they had fewer draft picks. But like, if you can have a bunch of picks and you can go 50% on 10 guys versus 50% on five guys, then you wind up finding the red chip guys. You find a, you know, even below red chip, just like solid starters, nevertheless, get more chances to get lucky on the blue chip. But if you can go 50% on that, I would say, man.
Well, I think Tyler Owens is interesting here too, because like you talked about and you brought this up, like after Will Harris is out or, you know, Quan Martin is out, like you're kind of like, who's the next guy? And so can he develop him and Percy Butler? I think Percy Butler is an interesting guy too. Like I like Percy.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a lot on the show, but like, can you develop into a guy where you're not worried about mental mistakes? You're getting the right fits. Like you're not a liability. You're not like, you know, clutching your pearls when that guy's in the game. And I think they're both physically capable of doing that, but for different reasons. Like they've kind of been these special team mavens, which is awesome. And you need those guys in your team. But if you can get them to take a step, right, just move from kind of that C range to that C plus B minus range, like that's a huge deal, you know. And can you be an impactful person for the roster? And I think they can. I think they can. And like when you hear like the staff talk about those guys, there is some excitement, but there is it like to get that added safety depth, like to get the depth at linebacker, like those people have to develop. And you know, we talked about Jordan McGee, but Dominique Hampton's also a guy, like you'd like to have at least four dudes there that you could feel like could play, right? So is that Kane or is that Dominique? And we'll see what happens. But I think that's why I have kind of identified that safety spot because of the way you've characterized it. And then obviously linebacker, same thing. Like what happens if Bobby's hurt? Like who's going to play?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's why I put Jordan above Kane and Dominique, because like he is the Mike. Like he's the heir apparent to Bobby Wagner. There's one other guy. I think, you know, we've kind of pushed tight end down, which is something we're actually going to talk about a little bit later too. Like Sinnott was a second rounder. Like him hitting would be really nice, but at the end of the day, he's also a tight end and there's a lot of really good tight ends coming out in the draft. If he winds up not, you know, we're not giving up on him, but if he winds up not turning out, they take another guy this year. Like it's long-term. I don't know how damaging that actually is. But I will say a guy that we haven't mentioned, and there are not a lot of seventh rounders, although I guess, you know, Owens is a UDFA, but like, if Bill hits, if Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt hits, to have a cheap running back for the next 3 years, like that's big time. Like that's a position you don't want to have to spend a ton of resources on, but you need to be really good. So I would say he's on my list probably. And then
I think Jean-Baptiste is another interesting one too.
That's a great call. That's a great call. If he can just become a solid, like they're going to have to find their stud edge eventually, probably you would think. But if, like, he can just be a really solid guy that plays next to Newton and like helps Newton become a star and is like a supporting role. Who's like, yeah, he's a legit pass rush threat, but he sets a great edge and he plays really well in stunts and twists to let Newton, you know, be the guy who, you know, gets a little bit more penetration. I think that's a great list. I think if you go the four guys we mentioned, McGee, Jean-Baptiste, and Bill, and that still, I mean, all those other guys we mentioned are still really important, but we got to draw a line at seven somewhere.
Yeah, and I think the one that I was just talking about, the defensive line, one that I think is kind of maybe borderline that first tier, and we haven't talked about him at all, is Kinlaw. Like, if he develops and takes a step from...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Can a guy who just signed your most expensive free agent contract still be considered a developmental prospect?
And I think when you watch his film, he is, right? And I think that's the thing about him is, like, in the same way that you're excited about Connerly, I'm excited about Kinlaw. And what I mean by that is, like, I think the ceiling for Connerly is like a blue chip player, right? And I think the ceiling for Kinlaw is a blue chip player. Has he played that way? No. And I think when you watch the film, like, you see, I've talked about the flashes a ton, right? But he's got to take a step, right? He's got to be more consistent. He's got to kind of go from the flash guy to the guy that is that red chip player. And I think you didn't pay him that way, in terms of like dollars and cents compared to some of these other big defensive tackle contracts. But I think he can do that. And so if he's here with Dan Quinn, Tapp and Kerrigan, and they can get him to take that step. Like, think about how devastating this defense would be when you had three dudes on the interior who can provide pass rush. And like, when you look around the league and you see those teams with really solid interiors, like, that's pretty dynamic. So he's a guy that I think, again, kind of is in that, you know, that list of four for me, is if he can take that step alongside Johnny Newton. Like, think about where this team could be, like, in terms of defensive projection.
My only question is like, you're 27. Is this just who you are? You're going to be inconsistent.
It's a great
point.
Even
if your highs are really high. And also, when you're getting paid that much, even though it's not top of the market DT money, like, you're still getting paid a pretty good amount. Can you still be considered developmental when it's like, no, we're kind of relying on you? Like, to me, he's almost more in like the Jaden, where it's like, nah, man, like, you kind of need to play well. Otherwise, we're up a creek.
I guess my question to you would be, and I don't think that's a bad point at all, would be like, right now I could see him having some type of situational role. Like, hey, you're in on first, second down, but you're really our third down pass rush defensive tackle or whatever, right? But what if you become like a dude? Like, what if you fit the system?
I mean, this should
really
be
his
prime.
Yeah. So, like, so to me, that's where like that developmental arc for him is really interesting. Because right now there is a huge difference between him and Johnny, but I don't really, in my mind, when I watch the players on tape, see a huge difference, right? Like, does that make sense what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it does. I think it's a great, like, discussion point. Like, whether he ultimately, like, this is like, hey, you listen to the show because we have good, hopefully, we try to have good, smart discussions that make you think a little bit about the game and the players and the things we're talking about. Not because of what the graphic looks like at the end. If we were to do like a Craig and Logan's top seven guys, if we were to put Kinlaw in there, people would be like, the hell is he doing in there? He just signed like a monster contract. But so I think for the graphic, if Evan's going to make a graphic, let's leave him off the graphic and save the Instagram comments. But for those of you that have actually listened and paid attention to the show, like, your point is very, very well taken, because there is a step for him. And if he can take it, oh my God, because Javon Kinlaw is one of the freakiest like athletes, which actually transitions nicely into our next question, but like one of the freakiest athletes we've seen in the NFL in a long time.
Yeah. So Bill, I think that's another interesting one. Yeah. Like, can you kind of fill that role? But yeah, those are the guys that to me kind of jump out. Obviously Luke and Ben. Luke, I think, becomes more important from a developmental standpoint if Noah Brown's hurt, really dinged up, and like, he's going to have to play a lot of minutes right now. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But those other ones seem like guys that, A, are closer to taking that developmental step, and B, I think have the athletic upside to do it. I think that's why we kind of keyed in on those guys.
Yeah, it's hard to separate once you get past those like first and second round guys. Like, who is, like, I could easily make an argument for Luke over all these guys that we spent more time on.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of the ones that matter are the ones that hit. And then you just have to make up, because that's kind of how the draft works. The farther down the draft order you go, the quote unquote less important it is, because you can probably find a similar prospect next year. And if that guy hits, then you're fine. Also depends on the position and yada, yada. All right. I think people get it. Our audience is smart. All right, if you would like to hear the rest of our answers to more mailbag questions, search Take Command wherever you get your podcast. Discussion about what it takes to be an NFL athlete, also in that podcast. So check that out, again, wherever you get yours. When we get back, NBA free agency is just over 1 hour from beginning. We will preview what the Wizards have on deck as part of today's Not My Beat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast. Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani,
inevitable. Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.